reverence for God's holy word. As I read from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." As they went, they were made clean. When one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God. God, thanks be to God. You may be seated. This is a familiar story to most of us. A lesson in thankfulness. 10 lepers, ostracized from society, keeping their distance, and they did not know who Jesus was, in that he was the Son of God, that he was God incarnate, but they knew of him. They knew that he was a teacher. They knew that miraculous things had happened in his ministry. And so they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy," or "have pity on us." Now, Jesus didn't do like he did many times. He didn't, make mud and put it on them. He didn't tell them to go dip in the pool of Siloam. He didn't tell them to do anything. He just said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Well, you didn't go show yourself to the priest unless you had been healed, unless you were clean, because you couldn't get near the priest unless you were clean. So he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Now, it shows some modicum of faith that they went, because it was as they went that they were healed. Now, of all the things that plague us, the moment you get that relief, the moment you get that good report, the moment that test comes back negative, you are so happy. I am sure they were jumping up and down for joy. We're healed. And they did, as Jesus said. I'm sure that they went on to the priest. Except for the one. Which was kind of interesting, since he was a Gentile. I'm not sure why he was headed to the priest anyway, but Jesus told him to. But he saw that he was healed, and the first thing he did was he praised God. Praised God. The second thing he did was he thanked who he believed was just a man, Jesus. A man with anointing, but a man. He thanked and praised God, and then he thanked the one that helped. We live in a time when being thankful is almost passé. We have so much, and yet we have never been so unhappy. There is a book that talks about this. And it says that although 9 were healed, only 1 was made whole. 9 had physical healing, but only 1 was whole. The one that gave praise to God and thanks to others became a whole person And Jesus equated the grateful heart and the praising God with the faith that heals. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. Now, they all received physical healing. Just because they weren't grateful, God didn't take it back. But only one. Although they all received wholeness, only one was transformed. Only one was transformed. I want you to remember this. You are thankful for something. That equals both praise and gratitude. Praise God. Be grateful to people. Do you catch that difference? That's really important. Sometimes I think we can go overboard praising people and giving just a little thanks to God. Sometimes we get it backward. The only one worthy of praise is God. Say that with me. The only one worthy of praise is God. But now everybody deserves our gratitude. But God's the one that made it possible. God's the one. If you needed $1 million and, you know, Annette here gives you $1 million. She said, good luck with that. But you need $1 million really, really badly. Annette gives you $1 million. Praise God. Thank Annette. Because who gave Annette $1 million? God. Thank her for her good stewardship of it. But folks, only praise God. We get messed up. And we get messed up because we lack humility. I know you folks pretty well after 9 years. And I love you, and you're wonderful, and you're generous, and there are many wonderful things that I am grateful for about you, but I will say this to your face right now. You are a stiff-necked people. You are. Not in that you're not humble in your giving. You're not humble enough to receive. Because if you receive something, that means you need help. Well, there's not a person in this room I don't think would give you the shirt off their back. But how many of you would take? Whole nother ball game, huh? Oh, how many years have I struggled with this? How many years have I struggled with this? And I'm a lot better now, so whatever you all want to give me, that's great. Just saying. But it's difficult to admit you need help. It really is. It takes humility to honor God and acknowledge that others can be of benefit to you. When people ask you, what can I do for you? Now, sometimes there's not really anything physical for them to do. But sometimes there is, and you're too proud to ask for it. I'm just telling the truth. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. I'm just telling the truth. That's where you lack your humility. In asking for help. And I'm telling you folks, that's false pride. It does not honor God. And it steals a blessing from someone who would want to do something for you. Ain't nothing good about it. Don't get all. I never take anything from anybody. Well, shame on you. Shame on you. It took me a long time to learn this lesson, and I am still learning it. When I come in, I start moving things that I probably shouldn't move. The first one to jump on me, if he's around, is Todd. Because he says, "What are you doing? We will move that for you." Now, number one, I've been on my own so long, I'm just used to doing for myself. But when other people are around, I'm trying to learn to ask other people who are more physically able to do certain things that to let them do it. When, did you see that I asked Mike to move my prayer stand instead of moving it myself? I don't know if I'll remember next time, but I did it today, and it just happened to work into the sermon. Humility, it's important. Since they have been putting the windows in and moving my furniture around, I have been going behind and cleaning, and I decided that there were some books that needed to go downstairs and some books that needed to come upstairs, and I found this book. It's called A Simple Act of Gratitude, How Learning to Say Thank You Changed My Life. It's by a man named John Kralik. The story begins with him in 2007 when he is on the verge of suicide. He is estranged from his adult children. He has a lawyer. His law firm is going down the tube. They are being evicted. He can't meet his payroll. He is going through a divorce. He's not sure what's going to happen with the custody of the only minor child, a daughter. And he is 52 and thinks life is over. And he went for a hike. Well, he's been separated from his wife for many years. They couldn't come to an agreement, so they never actually got divorced. But he had a girlfriend. Okay, it's not a Christian book. He had a girlfriend, and she broke up with him that day. So, I mean, his life to him is just spiraling. And he goes up on Thanksgiving. He goes for a hike. He's in California. And he goes to this old burnout hotel, and he sits there on the slab. And he said he heard something. As if someone had spoke it. Until you are grateful for what you have, you will never have what you want. Now, at that moment in his life, he said, "Well, I ain't got nothing. I don't have anything." Oh, don't we get those little pity parties? Oh, yeah. I've thrown a few of those. You know, just poor little pitiful me. Life is so awful. And yeah, bad things happen. Not saying they don't, but looking only at those bad things, but until you are grateful for what you have, you'll never have what you want. He wanted to be connected with his children. He wanted to have a relationship with this apparently very nice lady. He wanted the custody of his child to be settled. He was being sued. He needed that to be settled. He needed a place to move his business and enough money to keep it going. That's what he wanted. And this just resonated with him. So what he decided to do was that Every day of the year, for the next 365 days, he would find something to be grateful for and send somebody a thank you note. He couldn't think of anything at first. But then he realized, well, he was grateful for his assistant, who was always so faithful and had done so much for him, his paralegal. He sent a thank you note to his paralegal. He remembered people from his past who had done things for him. It allowed him to reconnect with friends that he had written off years ago because he was too busy and didn't have time. He reconnected with his college roommate. He reconnected with friends that he had made through the years. He reconnected with his sons. All because he sent a thank you note. Just a little note. He sent them on 3x5 cards. Not a letter, a note. Specific. Heartfelt. And I strongly recommend it. I couldn't put the thing down. I found it yesterday and I read through the thing. I could not put it down. Because it was so moving to see what changing to an attitude of gratitude, to use the old phrase, made in his life. And he realized that, did he get everything he wanted? No. Not the stuff that he wanted at Thanksgiving 2007. But by January 2009, he realized that he had everything he needed and he wanted his life just like it was. It's amazing what God can do if you're grateful for what you got. One of the things I loved about it is he told the story of his grandfather. His grandfather gave him a silver dollar when he was just a kid, maybe 9 years old, and said, you know, and he, you know, dutifully wrote the 9-year-old, thank you, grandfather, for the silver dollar. Sent that, grandfather sent him another silver dollar. Teaching him the lesson that gratitude brings increase. He never thanked his grandfather for the second one, and he never got a third. Because, folks, part of our increase depends on how grateful we are for what we've got. Why should God give us things that we're not grateful for? I've heard many people in this room talking, particularly about their grandchildren. You know, you don't even know if they got your Christmas present because they never even let you know that they got it. Much less whether they, I look all around the room, people are nodding their head. Because we haven't fostered gratitude. We haven't taught it. It doesn't mean that you give just to be thanked. It's important to teach thanksgiving, and the best way you can teach that is be thankful. Be thankful. I have to tell you a story that I heard yesterday and that I understand the people in the Sunday school class already knew about Howard Haar. Many years ago, Howard built a wall. Cinder block wall. And the wall was all done and he was putting pea gravel in front of it. Now, Howard's house was here and his daddy's house was up the hill up here. Howard's spreading the pea gravel and here's the words of Howard. Yeah. You know Howard. Yeah. No reply. Bread and the pea gravel. Howard! Yeah! Thought it was his daddy calling him. Third time he hears it, why didn't daddy answer me? And he backs away from the wall to look around and see where he can see his daddy. And as soon as he moved out of the way, that wall fell. It would have killed him. After he came to himself, he went up to see, you know, his daddy. Daddy was in the house watching TV. Didn't even know it happened. God saved Howard Haar's life. Now, I told him it's because his son or he didn't want him. But Howard's take on this, which is the true take, is Howard still had something to do. If you ain't dead, you ain't done. Howard still had something to do. And what a blessing he has been since he and Judy came to this church. What a blessing they are to us. Yeah. They're awesome. And they have been, and just like everybody God brings here, they're such a blessing to us. How terrible it would have been if we had never had him. But the thing about Howard and the really important part of this story for me today is he says, I remember that event every day and thank God and praise him for it. Now, is there something in your life that you have praised God for every single day? If nothing else, we ought to praise him for our salvation every single day. Praise God. Be thankful to people. Live in that attitude. And like our friend John, your life will change. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.